Yes.
So what's the relation FAO, BIGO, BIGO, FAO? Yeah.
Well, they are the food and agriculture organization of the UN, FAO.
Yeah.
And we usually say that the F in FAO stands for fish. So there is your connection.
Yeah.
And I am the head of the Fisheries and Agriculture Department. And the reason we are here is because of our cooperation with the industry. And Consumar is one of the industry organizations that we have chosen to work with. Mm. And sort of the flagship of that cooperation is this conference that we are now holding here for the third time. And the two ones, earlier ones, have been very successful, and from the first session of this one, it starts very well. There is an innovation in this one as well, that we have also a side event. Essentially, these conferences that we have had here with Consumar have been about the resources and the industry, but we have now added, through a side event, a dimension on decent employment, on livelihoods, to take into account the role of the employees as well. But sort of overarching in all of this that we are doing here is the code of conduct for responsible fisheries. And the code of conduct, which is negotiated code, but non-binding, is the kind of the constitution of responsible and sustainable fisheries and aquaculture globally. And it has its 20th anniversary next year.
We published them.
Yes, I saw your. you set us a very ambitious goal. But what we want to do here with Consumar and the authorities here in Vigo and Galicia and in Spain is to celebrate the code's anniversary with a larger conference here next year.
It's not only going to be one day?
No, it's going to be 2 days, hopefully.
Yeah.
And the emphasis is going to be on the dialogue between the stakeholders, the private sector, the NGOs, the academia, etc., and the governments.
Yeah.
And hopefully the stakeholders and the governments will be interested to come and participate. Obviously, you know, we can make plans till the cows come home. Somebody has to turn up, so we hope that you and others will help us. pass the word along that there will be an interesting, that there will be an even more interesting conference here next year than the three preceding ones have been, and they were good ones.
And the work of FAO, and
the work of FAO.
But let me read. Yes. Is only in this congress or along the other days of Consumar there in the IFEBI?
No, we are actually not involved in the exhibition. But
yeah, that's another thing. Right?
No, that's another thing altogether. But generally, when you have exhibitions, where people congregate, there are possibilities to have meetings. So we are sort of taking the opportunity of having the meeting here at the same time as the exhibition. Most of the people here are also going to the exhibition.
Yeah.
So you kill two birds with one stone.
And you were now in this medium. I don't know what's...
This was the side event on the decent employment that I...
Ah, okay. That
just came out of. Yes, I was just giving some introductory remarks.
It's not only science, it's not only look for the resources. It's also
This is sort of the socio-economic side of it, which is being introduced into it now. And that is very much in line with how the work of FAO is changing. We are emphasizing socioeconomic issues much more than before. It matters a lot how people behave and react in various situations. Yeah. And therefore, policies that you design have to take people's behavior into account, and and people behave in accordance with their interests.
They have to be together in this.
They have to be together in this, yes. Even if you could say that we live in a free market or even capitalist world, the point of it is not capitalism or the free market in itself. The point of it is to create a decent livelihoods for people. And in fisheries, the fishing industry is in a way an industry of contrasts, because you have some of the most richest people and some of the most richest peoples, in plural, you know the difference between,
yeah.
Yes, have made their fortune in fisheries. But also some of the poorest people in the world live on fisheries.
Yeah, I understand.
And so the task must be to improve the livelihoods of those that are worse off. The point of conserving the resources is not for conservation's sake. The point is to be able to utilize these resources. And the point of utilizing the resources is not to make a few people very rich.
Yeah.
It's again to create decent livelihoods for a lot of people. And as it is, 12% of the world population base their livelihoods on fisheries.
Yeah, this is always talking about this, and when there's a congress like this,
yeah,
the people always talk about this.
Yeah,
like all the people live from the sea, more or less, but mostly all the people live from the sea here in Spain. I mean,
yes,
here in Vigo for sure.
Yeah,
but talking about shrimp.
But when I'm talking about sort of the poorest people in the world,
yeah,
then I'm not talking about the poor people in Spain.
No, yeah, no, no.
Because
no,
they are
no,
not the poorest people,
yeah,
in the world.
I know, I know.
One of the other contrasts in the fishing industry is that you got in the modern fishing industry, you got some of the highest technologies being used in capture fisheries.
Yeah.
You're basically using space age technology.
Yeah.
If you're on the bridge or the trawlers or the tuna purseiners that come in here, you see equipment that you basically only see in a spaceship.
Yeah.
And in aquaculture, we are today utilizing the highest technologies in feed production and in genetics and biotechnology and biosecurity. But on the other hand, some of the fisher folk in this world are using Stone Age technologies.
Yeah.
The same that they are catching fish in the same way, same way they did, people did, and in the Flintstone era. And I'm not joking.
Yeah,
and the same with aquaculture. They are catching an on-growing fish in small natural ponds. So there is a lot of scope for improvement. When you see the chart, like we were seeing here earlier, that the price of fish goes up and up.
We have a lot of work to do.
We have a lot. We have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to help these people improve their methods without jeopardizing their resources, and also to make sure that they can get their products to the market,
yeah.
And for them to contribute to not just food and nutrition security, but also to the affluent societies that we have in countries like Spain.
To improve their level of life. Too.
Yes, yes. Yes, obviously the nutrition aspect is getting more and more important in the advanced societies, in the advanced economies. And fish is an extremely valuable nutrient, especially for mothers, pregnant mothers and breastfeeding mothers, young children that are developing their brain capacity, and for middle-aged men like me that need to think about their heart. So all these groups of people, a spoonful of fish oil does wonders for you. A spoonful of fish oil every day, like I take.
Yeah,
yes,
you do?
Yes, every day.
And talking about the Shrimp Congress.
Yes.
I don't know how it's said. Shrimp?
Shrimp.
Shrimp, okay. Yes. That was the first time I said this word in my life.
Yes.
And talking about this, you said here that it's one of the most popular fish foods,
yes.
We can say.
Yes.
And why is not? Because a shrimp is not always in the menu of a common people. I mean, I don't eat shrimp all the weeks, for example.
No, probably I don't. Well, yes, I would almost say that I eat shrimp in one way or another. Yeah. Almost every week. I wouldn't want to swear by it, but well, it obviously depends on the recipes that you use. But and that depends on what kind of a cultural community you belong to. Most of the shrimp is produced now in aquaculture,
yeah.
And most of it is in Asia. So a lot of the consumption takes place in Asia, and there are very, very strong cultural traditions for eating fish in Asia. And the middle classes in Asia are growing at an enormous rate. So the demand for fish, including shrimp in Asia, is great. You see here in Europe, especially in snacks.
Yeah.
Well, in Iceland, for instance. Sandwiches with prawns, yeah. are very popular. So I would say that when I'm in Iceland, I would probably eat a sandwich with prawns at least once a week.
Well,
maybe not in Italy, but in Italy, well, one of my favorite pasta dishes is spaghetti gamberi, which is spaghetti with prawns.
Yeah, I know.
With shrimp. And yes, and a lot of the Chinese dishes and the Chinese restaurants.
Hmm.
Also the curries, Indian curries, a lot of.
You talk about Asia and Chinese, or what? But with the EMS, the illness of the shrimp.
Yeah.
Now South America is going to be more. I don't know, to take place in the world market.
Yes. Yes, obviously in fish farming, you experience new diseases. Fish farming is relative to other types of farming is in its early days. So we are encountering new problems. And I think so far we have been able to deal with them rather successfully, and I hope that we will be able to continue doing that. We had a large role in diagnosing the EMS, and now we are running courses in various countries to establish preventive measures. But the open markets, the free markets and world trade as it is, it can be very difficult
to control
yeah. the spread of diseases. Basically, diseases spread with products, either live or processed. Probably more with live products, of course, but still there are possibilities with processed products. But I'm sort of quietly confident that we will manage to get the industry through this problem relatively quickly and without too great costs.
There was yesterday a roundtable about this, and they say that maybe not in 2015, but maybe in 2017, the problem will be solved.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.